This is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and here are our announcements. We will not be having blessings of religious articles after Mass today, and there will be no benediction this evening as well. The important, or they're all important, but the major feast this week of St. James, of course, St. James the Greater on July 25th, St. Anne, the grandmother of our Lord, and St. Martha. St. Anne is Wednesday. St. Martha, the sister of St. Mary Magdalene, and St. Lazarus, Saturday, this Saturday, July 29th. I was thinking that after Mass today, instead of having our little talk, that we would go into the hall and have once again our time of questions and answers and so on and so forth, so that you have a chance to come together and can ask questions if you like. And I have some things I'd like to tell you too about news. People always like to hear about that, news about the church, about the culture, society, and so on that people are interested in. And I do this, I like to do this, because, first of all, it is a break from the normal Sunday talks and so on, which are important, of course, as you know. You come here not only to worship, but to learn. And so we have that obligation, don't we, to teach. It's part of the obligation of a priest. Very much neglected today. But it's also a time to be informed, too, about our circumstances. I have faulted myself over the last few years because over these many years, what I have sought to do, and I have imposed this, as it were, as much as I could here in this chapel, I've sought to make everything here as normal as possible so that when you come here, you don't feel as if you're in a siege mentality and so on and so forth. And to keep the liturgy and the talks and the instruction and so on in this aura of, I don't want to say the word routine, but something that is part of our daily lives and so on. And I thought that was a very good, it was a good in itself, because I don't like people becoming fanatics. And God knows we've got enough of those, don't we? Particularly among people of this ilk. I think, however, that over all these years, there has been a bad side to that. Namely, that our people have been plagued with the idea that everything is normal. And it's not normal, is it? Not normal at all. Not at least the way I grew up years ago. We are in a crisis. We are in a war for your minds, for your souls, even for the slavery of your bodies to these demonic masters of the world. And I think it is important as well that while we don't want to make this a forum for condemning everybody, I have seen too many of that motion of condemnation of everybody else. Sometimes it has happened that priests criticize, and rightfully so, and condemn all of these terrible errors and abuses in the world and the church and so on, and people walk out depressed. But more than that, and worse than that, they get this notion that everybody else is bad, but I'm good. I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. See? Everybody else is no good. Well, of course, this is ridiculous. It's nonsense. The end of life is the salvation of souls, isn't it? That is to say, your soul and my soul in particular. And in order that you achieve that, at least with some measure of safety, is that you be aware of what's going on in the world. To give you an example, parents. It's a very, very, very difficult work to raise children in our times, isn't it? Very difficult. Those of our parents are frantic, and you should be, for the dangers in the world, and especially in schools, these dens of iniquity in many ways, and also without really an adequate education. Let us not get into the details of the scam of higher education and of useless degrees that profit you nothing and only incur lifelong debt. That's all planned. So parents are in a terrible quandary what to do with their children. Some parents take no notice of it, and so they send their children to school and pretend everything is fine. They wind up, well, those children, in a very bad way, let's put it that way, and with the great danger of the loss of their souls. Then there are parents, you see, who seek to protect their children so completely that they make them drop out of society. And so with them, they so shelter them that they know nothing about the world at all. And so they're not allowed to have friends, go out, and so on and so forth. No television, that's one big one. Not that we're suggesting that everything on television is fine, of course it's not. But to say as if there's no TV in the house and you can't know about news and so on and so forth, that's insane. In this day and age, children have to be exposed. The key, you see, in raising children, at least in this area, see, is that you must protect them from evil, yes, but teach them as well how to cope with it, to live with it and not be infected by it. That's the goal of parents, a very difficult one. You can't help when you wallow in mud to get dirty. At the same time, you cannot pretend that there is no world out there. It's a hard thing to do. So, yes, shelter to some degree, but then they have to be, well, put in a position to allow them to make their own mistakes, right? To make their own mistakes. That is not to say that you should countenance them, their children, doing anything they'd like. Of course not. There has to be some measure of a balance in all of this, in this world that we call in prayer a valley of tears. Similarly with you. From a supernatural point of view, you see, I am not your pastor. That is a canonical position that is imposed by competent ecclesiastical authority. I'm not your pastor. This is not a parish. This is a private chapel. You come here as our guests. Right? You understand that, don't you? Nevertheless, when you do come here because you have no other place to go, and come here on a regular basis, you are telling us to watch over our souls, to take care of us, to help us to save our souls. In that respect, you see, I am your spiritual father. You are my children, no matter how old or young you are. You're my children, and I have to watch out for you. That's the obligation that I take on when you come here and ask for that. Sometimes it means prayer. Sometimes it means feeding you the truth. Sometimes it means rebuke. Sometimes it means praise. It's all what a father does. And good children who love their father, listen to them. A father has to, doesn't he, in the spiritual way. A father, you see, is bound in his conscience not only to protect you from evil, but to expose you to it to the degree that you have been forewarned and forearmed. That's what we are trying to accomplish in some humble way by these times we get together, not only by the sermons and by the talks and so on, by the first Fridays and the conferences and so on, see? But by the time we spend together with bake sales, it's not just for the bake sale, it's to get together, to be together with one another in some humble way. Not much, but it's something. Because everybody lives at a distance and so on and so forth. And it's also especially by these times of questions and answers. In these times, you, this chapel, this house, the priests, are the object of a considerable amount of condemnation, criticism by the enemies of the church who pretend that they have concern over your souls. Sometimes they make their criticisms and condemnations not only private but public, sometimes in the press. Brethren, don't be disturbed by that. I consider it to be a trophy. All right? It's a trophy. I'm proud of it. What do you expect a Methodist to do in the face of Catholic truth? Praise you? Agree with you? Approve of you? Encourage you? Of course not. That's what they're supposed to do. Same with the Presbyterians or the Baptists. Some of them are virulently anti-Catholic. These modernists, jackals, globalists, socialists, communists, who have control of the organs of the church for the time being, when they condemn you, remember, and I'm saying this at large because I know some people don't come to these questions and answers. When they condemn you, do you know what they're doing? They're expressing their fear of you. That's what they're doing. You make them nervous. There are many, many abuses just in this diocese alone. Many sacrileges and abuses of all kinds. But they're ignored. Why? Why do they center on this little puny chapel in the face of all these parishes? Why? Because you're the ones that they're afraid of. And I look out at you and I think, look, this group. They're not much in terms of force. Not much at all. But they're scared of you because you believe the Catholic truth, the Catholic faith. And that bothers them because they're about the business of destroying it. And you're the holdouts. And they cannot abide it. And that's why they seek to undermine you. Even if you're not a very good Catholic, to the degree that you practice the faith and stuff, they want to take you apart limb by limb. That's what they want to do. If some of these people could put their hands around my throat and squeeze all the air out, they would do it. And what is that? I once met a priest many years ago who, of our faith, was suspended by his bishop because he would not give up this Mass. And he showed me the letter of suspension. And you know what I said to him? That's your ticket to heaven. That's what that is. Your ticket to heaven. Be proud of it. All right? Let's just say it. So don't be afraid of these people. They're afraid of you. That's why they like to criticize you even as they can privately, or challenge you, to eat away at you, to get under your skin. And that's why we have these Q&As, to arm you, to let you know what's really going on. I have concealed, and I'm going to say this to you as well, and I admit it openly, I have concealed a great deal from you. Yes, I have. If you only knew a little bit of the corruption that's going on in the forces of religion, especially the Catholic religion, I think to myself, I don't think these people would come back anymore, or at least some of them. Because it's that depressing, that scandalizing. Well, I think those days have to come to an end. I think it's important that we inform you to whatever way we feel we can about the truth of things. There are several levels of society. You're living on the uppermost level, but there are deeper levels of control in your lives. And you should be aware of at least something about them, so that you're not, as it were, fooled by what appears and by statements made by the public, made for the public by the church's leaders and so on, you see, for public consumption. But the reality is something very different. I think we must make it our business to inform you about it to some degree. Don't be fooled by appearances. That's all they are, appearances, for the sake of control. So you remember, when we are condemned, when this chapel is criticized, see, not in good standing, what how preposterous that is. Complete nonsense. Don't be fooled by that. They're doing as much as they can to undermine because they're nervous. They're afraid of you. And they want to destroy whatever it is that they can, you see, to give them more free rein in their battle for control of your lives for the sake of global power. And you, the believers, are one of the big obstacles. It's not about Latin Mass. All right? It's not about that. Of those of you who think all I need is the Latin Mass, I'll be fine, you're way off on Mars someplace. That's not what it's about. Or we need return to Catholic morality and doctrine, then we'll be fine. If that's what you think, just open your eyes and glimpse into reality a little bit might help you. Just a little bit. It's not about any of those things. They're only symptoms of the deeper issue that American Catholics are abysmally ignorant of, for the most part, and that is there is an attempt to destroy Christendom, the Christian world order, Christianity. That's what it's about. And the more that you cooperate with the paganism that they are promoting, and Satanism, because that is alive too, very much so, even in Christian circles. Satanism, and worse, which this pulpit prohibits me from describing. If you aren't in some way in compromise with that, you become the enemy. It's all about Christendom, Christian world order, of which the Catholic faith is the prime example. That's why these Q&As, okay? So, I invite you to come. You can't come. It's the end of it. I understand. That's your conscience's decision. But it's all about that. And whatever things we tell you, you see, even in side remarks, it's all meant to alert you, to inform you, to strengthen you. You see, you have to face that world. So you remember, whatever criticisms come your way, consider it to be a medal on your chest. Be proud of it. Don't be concerned about the slings and arrows that they fly at you. There's nothing. It's all bluster. All right, that's enough of that. Anyway, we'll have it this time after the Mass in the hall. The epistle for this Mass, oh, by the way, I almost forgot. You are free to leave any time. Not here, not the Mass. I'm talking about the questions and answers. All right? You can leave any time you like for whatever reason. And I'm always surprised because many of you keep me longer than even I can stand. So you're free to go. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. Holy Gospel for this Sunday is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. What a great epilogue to everything I told you, right? What a great epilogue, don't you think? I think so. Anyway, let us proceed with our Holy Mass, and then hopefully we'll see you afterwards. May God bless you.